Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's Q1 2018 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today on Tuesday, the 29th of May, 2018. Now I would like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, David Mullen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Welcome everyone to Shelf Drilling's quarter one 2018 earnings call. Joining me on the call today is Greg O'Brien, Shelf Drilling CFO. On May 15th, we issued the Shelf Drilling Limited financial statements and consolidated financial report for quarter one 2018. We posted these documents to the public investor relations page on our company website. On May 28th, we posted our latest fleet status report, that includes the contract details for all of our rigs as of April 30th, 2018. The recording of this call will be made available on our site within the next few days. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that our call will contain forward-looking statements. Except for statements of historical facts, all statements that address our outlook for the rest of 2018 and beyond, activities, events, or developments that we expect, estimate, project, believe, or anticipate may or will occur in the future are forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements involves substantial risks and uncertainties that could significantly affect impacted results. Actual future results could differ materially from those described in such statements. Also note that we may use non-GAAP financial measures in the call today. If we do, you will find supplemental disclosures for these measures and an associated reconciliation in our financial reports. I will provide an overview of the company's performance in quarter one 2018 and share my latest views on the jack-up market. I will then hand over to Greg to walk you through the financials before we open up the floor to question and answers. I would like to start with comments on our safety and operating performance. For the first four months of 2018, the total recordable incident rate has been 0.13 across the entire fleet. This is truly a best-in-class performance and a best performance since company inception. Early in quarter one, we brought all of our offshore installation managers to Dubai with a clear focus on achieving further improvements in our safety and operating performance. I do believe that the step change in our safety performance is in part attributable to the many takeaways that resulted from this meeting. We had an uptime performance of 98.4% for the first four months of 2018. This is below the 98.8% we achieved in 2017, and in part due to some startup issues of rigs returning to operations in India and Nigeria. We continue to see a high level of rigs returning to operations during the quarter. In addition to the six rigs that returned to operations in quarter one, we had the Adriatic I commence operations on the 26th of April for Amni Offshore Nigeria, and Rig 141 contracted to PECO Group of Companies in Egypt for a total period of 2 years and a minimum commitment of 6 months. This rig is expected to commence mobilization to the Sirocco well this week. The two new build rigs, Shelf Drilling Chifai and Shelf Drilling Krathong, continue to perform very well for Chevron in the Gulf of Thailand and continue the practice of perfect execution. Perfect execution is the process of creating a performance-based culture with a sole focus on constructing wells in the most efficient and safe manner. We have enjoyed an outstanding performance of our six-rig fleet working for Saudi Aramco with an incident-free operation and an uptime of 99.8% for the first four months of 2018. Additionally, the flat times and tripping speeds were substantially better than the targets set by Saudi Aramco. The King Manhattan, working for Eni in the Adriatic Sea, has enjoyed an uptime of 100% since the rig returned to work in December 2017. The newly acquired premium jack-up rigs continue to perform consistently well while working for Dubai Petroleum offshore UAE. The Shelf Drilling Mentor and Shelf Drilling Tenacious have systematically beaten our customers' AFE while averaging an uptime of 99% since commencing operations. The Galveston Key completed a very successful 15-month P&A program end of March for Shell in India. Shell was very happy with the safety and operational performance of the rig. Since the last earnings call in March, Total Nigeria exercised a 5-month option period on the Baltic rig working offshore Nigeria. This will keep the rig under contract until September 2018. The rig has had an outstanding performance, drilling the fastest set of wells on the Ofon project, an incident-free year-to-date, and an uptime of 99.7%. We continue to see a solid pipeline of opportunities in West Africa, Egypt, Middle East, and Thailand. Shelf drilling contracted utilization on our active fleet of rigs was 75% as of the end of April. Our firm contracted backlog is approximately $1.125 billion, with 68% of the remaining days contracted for the calendar year 2018. Brent crude oil prices have rallied recently above the $70 threshold, which for some time was seen as a ceiling to the oil price. Geopolitical tensions within the Middle East region being primary catalyst, and the expectation of more onerous US-led sanctions on Iran for the most recent positive price movement, which briefly pushed prices past $80. However, oil prices have fallen by around 7% this past week since Saudi Arabia and Russia said they were ready to ease supply curbs and are planning to raise OPEC and non-OPEC oil production by around a million barrels a day. Final decisions will be taken at the upcoming OPEC meeting in Vienna on June 22nd and June 23rd. Global demand for crude oil is growing faster than projected, resulting in steeper reduction in global demand in oil inventories. Increasing U.S. production will continue to weigh on the market, although recent investor sentiment on onshore E&P companies is shifting its focus from production growth to return on capital. The recent collapse in the socio-economic system in Venezuela has resulted in a precipitous drop in the country's oil production, which has fallen to the lowest level in decades, and this will likely add further momentum to the oil price. Industry utilization is expected to improve through 2018. Saudi Aramco have recently concluded a multi-year 9-premium jackup tender. All 9 rigs represent an incremental requirement. ADNOC are expected to conclude a long-standing multi-year 6-rig requirement within the coming weeks. The combination of the two represents approximately 45 rig years of additional demand. In addition to this, we see a pipeline of additional demand in the Middle East from the joint development zone between Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait and Qatar. Kuwait Oil Company are planning an offshore exploration program in 2019 and 2020. North Oil Company in Qatar is looking to expand their activity in an effort to drive production on the prolific Al Shaheen field. We anticipate an increase in activity in West Africa, with Nigeria, Gabon, and Cameroon all expected to add jack-up rigs in 2018 and 2019. We also see an increase in marketing activity in the Mediterranean region and in Thailand. Until recently, jack-up contractors tended to hold on to cold-stacked jack-up rigs, in part due to the low holding cost. However, recently we've seen a significant pickup in rig retirements. There have been 18 jack-up rigs retired since November 2017. And a commitment to retire a further 14 in the coming weeks. Since November 17, we've seen a significant step up in rig retirements, which will go some way towards balancing the market. Total revenue for the quarter increased $2.5 million on a sequential basis, from $145 million in Q4 2017 to $147.5 million in Q1 2018. The positive variance was primarily due to increased activity. The adjusted EBITDA increased $4.2 million on a sequential basis from $44.8 million to $49 million. The positive variance was due to an increase in activity combined with lower maintenance spend. I'll now hand it over to Greg to provide additional details on the Q1 financial results.
Thanks, David. Revenue for Q1 was $148 million, including $140 million of day rate revenue, $5 million of mobilization, demob, and bonus revenue, and $3 million of recharges and other revenue. Revenue increased by 2% relative to Q4, primarily due to an increase of $8 million in UAE following the commencement of two contracts with Dubai Petroleum, and $5 million in Italy with the Key Manhattan back on a drilling campaign under its long-term contract with Eni. This was partially offset by a $6 million reduction in Bahrain as the Key Hawaii was idle for the entire quarter, and a decrease in the number of operating days from 92 in Q4 to 90 in Q1, which had an approximate $3 million impact on revenue. Marketed utilization was 63%, up by 5 percentage points from the average in the second half of 2017, with the commencement of seven new contracts throughout the quarter. Average day rate for Q1 was $70,000 a day, down from $73,000 in Q4. This figure is expected to fall slightly through the balance of 2018, as the new contracts that have commenced in 2018 are at generally lower rates than the average for the rest of the fleet. As expected, direct rig operating expenses fell by $13 million from $95 million in Q4 to a more normalized level of $82 million in Q1 following the completion of a heavy period of maintenance and contract preparation late in 2017. Other rig-related expenses, which typically make up approximately 10% of our rig operating costs, were $12 million or 15% of the total for the quarter. We had a series of rig moves that impacted this figure in Q1. Demobilization expenses for the Trident 8 and Adriatic 1 in Nigeria after the end of their contracts in December and January, respectively. We also moved the Galveston Key from India to the Middle East after the Shell contract finished in March, which we think will position this rig for potential employment opportunities later in 2018 or 2019 in the region. In addition, we carried a slightly higher level of spending temporarily on our rigs in Nigeria in Q1, primarily due to the operational startups that David mentioned earlier on the call. With shore-based G&A of $9 million and corporate G&A expenses of $11 million, total overhead costs were $20 million for the quarter. Adjusted EBITDA for the period was $49 million, up 10% or $4 million from Q4 2017, largely due to the jump in revenue. CapEx and deferred costs totaled $17 million during Q1. This figure will move higher in Q2 as we have three planned shipyard projects underway in recent months. Highland 2 and Main Pass 4 in Saudi Arabia for the three-year recertification of well control equipment required in all Aramco contracts. The scope for the Main Pass 4 also includes the five-year overhaul of the rig's drilling equipment. In addition, we intend to carry out an upgrade project on the Trident 8 in Bahrain, which should position this unit well for multi-year work beginning in 2019 back in Nigeria. Income tax expense was $4.7 million for Q1, or 3.2% of revenue. Interest expense was $39 million for the quarter, which included $19 million of one-time debt extinguishment costs associated with the refinancing that we completed in February. The net loss for the quarter was $38.5 million, largely due to the accounting impact of this transaction. Net debt was $801 million at the end of Q1, which includes $305 million remaining balance under our sale leaseback facilities. Net debt increased by $45 million during the quarter due to two non-recurring impacts, the cost we incurred to execute the bond offering and a reduction in current liabilities. We completed several key strategic objectives in Q1. The $600 million senior notes issuance further improved our capital structure and debt maturity profile. We successfully commenced seven new contracts with a mix of new and existing customers, which should help drive a further increase in our market utilization in Q2. We continue to see a number of near-term opportunities to contract our existing idle rigs, as well as acquire and deploy additional jackups. The jackup rig count has steadily moved higher, and the strengthening commodity backdrop will provide further support for increased demand. With our unique geographic footprint and competitive cost base, we believe we're well positioned to benefit from an improving market environment. We'd now like to open the call for any questions.
Later. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for us to compile the question and answer queue. It is star and one on your telephone keypad for questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one for questions. Thank you. We did get two questions. The first question comes from the line of Vance Shaw from CSAM. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. This is Vance Shaw from Credit Suisse Asset Management. Wanted to ask you guys, what are leading edge day rates look like today? Are they still sort of going down, or are they sort of bottoming out? And I know it's hard to probably say, but how are you feeling about leading edge day rates for the balance of the year in terms of up, down, or flat to what they are now?
Yeah, Vance, no, that's a good question. We're seeing utilization improve, and with that, we're seeing day rates, I believe, have bottomed. I think we'll start to see some improvement. It will be slow to start with, and as Greg mentioned, we expect that our average day rates through the calendar year 2018 will probably be less than what we had in 2017, but it will be more than offset by the higher utilization. And we really imagine that we'll see some day rate improvements in the year 2019. What you're seeing is global utilization has picked up about 4 percentage points from 69% to 73%. And given what else is out there, I project that global utilization will come into the high 70s well before the end of the calendar year. And that should give some element of pricing stability and potentially some improvement.
Gotcha, thanks. Also, we continue to read about the Chinese rigs, you know, which is an issue I guess we've been talking about for years. Read about the Chinese rigs possibly being used to fill some of these new tenders. Do you have any sort of comments on what's going on with those rigs that are kind of locked up in Chinese shipyards?
I think we're seeing COSL in the market today, but not with Chinese, not with rigs that are stranded in the shipyard. I think my own sense is that a lot of those rigs that are stranded in the shipyard will find their way back into the Chinese market, and to a certain extent may penetrate the Iranian market, given that it's close to a lot of other assets. I think it's going to be quite some time before rigs that are stranded in the shipyard make the way into the market, because they require a pretty significant investment to take a stranded rig in the shipyard and get it ready to operate. With the Chinese rig, we estimate that's somewhere between $25 and $30 million per rig.
Gotcha. Thank you. Also, just one final question, if I may. Any thoughts on getting a U.S. stock listing, or are you guys kind of just sort of happy we are with that, with a Norwegian listing?
No, we have, we can't really say too much about that, but what I can say is that we did make a commitment to the OTC shareholders that we would look to list on a regulated exchange, and we still plan to honor that commitment. We're waiting for the right market conditions, and, we intend to honor that commitment.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a quick reminder, for further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Your next question comes from the line of Lukas Daul from ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Good afternoon, guys. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the uptick in tendering activity. Does the recent increase in the oil prices move the tendering activity up significantly in your view? And are you seeing an increasing element of term jobs being tendered?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes in both cases. I mean, I can quote a few examples. Aramco is a pretty good example because their initial intent was to come out with a six rig requirement, and they actually increased it to a 9-rig requirement. It's also interesting that the respondents that locked in their rigs choose to lock it in for 3 years and not 5 years. So I think that tells you that Aramco see the market as pretty attractive for them today and up their requirement when, you know, they could have put something out at a later date. The other thing we're seeing is that we're seeing people, Chevron in Thailand, put out an inquiry with a forward start date of 18 months. So people are looking at today as a pretty attractive period to lock in requirements. And I think the anticipation by both operators and contractors is that the market is about to move. And the expectation is day rates will move. And that's why people want to lock in term. And they're also looking at locking in forward start dates. We've had conversations with quite a number of customers where their start date is 2019 and in some cases even 2020. And they want to start negotiation now. So it's an encouraging sign.
And when you, to follow up on that, when you bid for that kind of work, how are you thinking in terms of the rate? Are you sort of going for a fixed trade, or are you trying to index it, or how do you sort of leave yourself up the upside in case the market gets stronger, as you sort of allude to?
Yeah, I need to be a little bit careful how I answer that because it's obviously competitively sensitive information. But we do pretty much all of what you alluded to. We look at ways to have it index linked if that's possible. We look at ways to have a higher rate than what the current market is if it's got a forward start date, because we all believe that the market's going to improve. And historically, when the market improves, it improves very quickly. And one part of your first question I didn't really answer was the oil price. You know, if you look at all that's underpinning the oil price today, you have to believe that the price where it is sticks and there's potentially more upside to that price, because right now supply is pretty constrained with sanctions about to be levied on Iran and the ongoing issues in Venezuela. There's a lot of production, there's a lot of barrels that are off the market. So I believe that oil price is certainly going to stick, and there's upside to where it is today. I believe operators are seeing the same thing, and people are looking to contract forward and lock in what capacity they can lock in.
Mm. And last quarter, you talked about sort of plenty of available rigs if you wanted to pick them up at still relatively attractive prices. Has anything happened in that sphere over the last few months?
No, we still see that there is availability of second-hand rigs that are premium jackups built in the last 10 years, and we're interested to grow our fleet. Today we have what I would call 8 premium jackups. We have the 2 new builds that we put with Chevron in Thailand. They're locked into a long-term contract with Chevron in Thailand. We have the three rigs we bought from, we recently acquired. All of those rigs are locked into fairly long-term contracts. And we have the three rigs that we did a very big life enhancement, and we upgraded the rig to mirror the specification of newer rigs. That's the Key Singapore, the Baltic, and the Adriatic One. And all of those rigs are locked up in long-term contracts. So of the eight premium jackups we have in our fleet, we've got 100% utilization. So we see that if we have more premium jackups in our fleet, we will be able to put them under contract fairly easily.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It is star and one on your telephone keypad for questions. Star and one. There are no further questions at the moment. Please continue.
Operator, I think that's all good. I'd like to thank everybody for joining the call and look forward to the next earnings call. Thank you very much and talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.